The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, we had some really awesome games yesterday. Just another great day of football. I mean, multiple teams were down double digits and actually had huge comeback wins. So that's what kind of a day it was yesterday. Or there were also just major ass kickings on other sides. So let's get started in London. First London game of the year between the Minnesota Vikings and the Cleveland Browns. This one actually ended up being a lot closer than expected. The Vikings got the win 21-17, but the Browns actually had the lead the majority of this game. They really just made it a difficult game for the Vikings. I'm not really sure what was going on with the Vikings. Offensively, they looked really lost to start the game. Then the second half, they started to plug away, but it just was a very, very odd game from them. And, you know, Carson Wentz, he did not look like he was really comfortable at all. He actually almost got injured and had to leave the game at one point. So they were almost stuck with their third string quarterback, but that actually did not happen. He completed the game. But, like I said, the Vikings got the win 21-17. The Browns actually shockingly made it close. Their defense is just something else. It just sucks for them because their offense is just such garbage. They were able to make it a pretty good game, but the Vikings walked away with the win in London. Then we had the Dallas Cowboys at the New York Jets, and Jesus motherfucking Christ, Dak Prescott is just continuing his reign of terror. 4 touchdowns again yesterday. What I'm loving about this season for Dak is these last 2 games, we haven't even had CD Lamb, and he's just finding everybody. He is distributing the ball to everybody. And then Williams, Jesus Christ, Javonte Williams has been such an amazing addition to this team. It has been so much fun to watch them actually have a ground attack, and this is what looks so good about this offense. Javonte Williams, 135 yards on the ground and a touchdown. Just a fantastic overall game from the Cowboys, just in every phase of the game for the most part. As a matter of fact, the only guy who had a bad game yesterday basically was Brandon Aubrey. He had a shitty kickoff that went out of bounds. And then he missed an extra point. So sorry, we got to cut Aubrey now because he missed those fucked up on 2 plays yesterday. So, but other than that, man, Cowboys looked pretty solid on offense. Actually had a good day on defense too. They had a bunch of sacks. They had a couple of turnovers. Really just made it a very difficult day for Justin Fields. Overall, very good game from the Cowboys. They got the win 37-22. 22 or 16 of those points came in the second half. Actually, 19 of those points came in the second half. 16 in the fourth quarter for the Jets because at that point it was garbage time, so they really didn't even get that many points. It was pretty much they had 3 points for a really, really long time, and it was just the Cowboys just continuously scoring up and down this field, and it was a fantastic game to watch as a Cowboys fan. Also, once again, gotta say, all you dumb Cowboys fans, before the season started, how you feeling about Brian Schottenheimer as our coach now, huh? How you feeling about Brian Schottenheimer as our coach? Looking pretty goddamn good as a play caller, especially. I'm loving me some Brian Schottenheimer this season. Loving me some Brian Schottenheimer. And unlike y'all, I was happy to give him a chance before anything happened. So, all you crybabies who went off and needed to dump your diapers all offseason crying about, oh, we didn't get no Bill Belichick. How's that shit going? Bill Belichick is getting his ass beat as a North Carolina head coach. They got smashed again over the weekend. But Brian Schottenheimer looking like a pretty solid coach right now for the Cowboys. Then we had the Las Vegas Raiders at the Indianapolis Colts, and woo. The Raiders suck, but the Colts look pretty goddamn good. They got the win 40-6. It was all Colts all day. As a matter of fact, they scored 20 points in the second quarter and 20 points in the third quarter, and it was just, I mean, it was just all Colts all day. There was no point in time where the Raiders look good. I mean, Geno Smith is just throwing interceptions like no other this season. He threw a couple more yesterday, and I don't know, man. This Raiders team does not look like they have any positive things to say. I mean, there's nothing good going on with this team. So, but the Colts, on the other hand, their defense looks good. Their offense looks good. Jonathan Taylor, told you, dude was, he's, anytime that guy is healthy, he's going to have a great season, and the Colts continue to surprise the entire league. Then we had the New York Giants at the New Orleans Saints, and this was a weird-ass game, because the Giants came right out the gate, and it looked like they were going to dominate this game, but then the second half turned on, and the Saints were like, nope, sorry, this is our game. And they were just starting to cause all the turnovers. Jackson Dart, very, very loosey-goosey with some, with the football there at a few plays. He fumbled the ball. Scadaboo fumbled the ball. It was just not, it was a terrible game from the Giants. Very, very, very sloppy-ass, typical game from the Giants. Saints, on the other hand, though, man, they had a fumble for a touchdown. Rashid Shaheed had a huge game, 114 yards, a touchdown. Spencer Rattler, solid game, 21 for 31, 225 yards and a touchdown. So the Saints get their first win of the season. I'm sure they were very happy about that. But man, the Giants, I'm glad they enjoyed their fleeting feelings of Jackson Dart last week, because he looked like Jackson Fart this week. Then we had the Denver Broncos at the Philadelphia Eagles. Huge surprise win for the Broncos in this one. I mean, this was another one where it looked like the Eagles were pretty much handling their business throughout this one. They weren't scoring a lot of points. You know, they were doing their typical boring offense, just moving along, scoring here and there. But then all of a sudden, the Broncos turned it on. They started to get it going defensively. And then in the fourth quarter, they scored 18 points and ended up winning the game 21-17. And the Eagles had a shot, still had a shot in the end. I mean, they're always in it. Regardless, but you know, the you could just kind of hear the discontent with AJ Brown just getting louder and louder with Jalen Hurts. Speaking of Hurts, even though it was a loss, he still actually had a very good day: 23 for 38, 280 yards, two touchdowns. Devontae Smith, 114 yards. J.K. Dobbins on the ground for Denver, big day: 79 yards and a touchdown. But just a really solid overall performance. This Broncos defense, I'm telling you, very, very sneaky good defense from the Broncos. That's why they stay in these games. Their offense has some work. They're not as buttoned up as the defense, but the defense is very stout and keeps them in games. And that's why they got this win yesterday, because it kept them in the game. Then their offense just did what they needed to do, and they got a big win over this Philadelphia Eagles team. It would be nice to think, you know, because I hate the Eagles, so I would love to see them go on some major losing streak here. But I wouldn't be surprised if they just, you know, they look exactly like they did last year. They look exactly like last year. Everything about this team is very similar, and this is probably just going to be one of maybe their two losses on the season. But I'm hoping it's the cat out of the bag. It just starts just them whole, just a ball rolling down the hill where it's just like they just fall apart. It would be nice to see them do that, but I kind of have a feeling it's more just one game, one loss, and they just let it get away from them. Then we had the Miami Dolphins at the Carolina Panthers, another game in which we had another major comeback. Dolphins looked like they were just going to dominate this one all the way up until the second half. And the Panthers actually started to put it together. I mean, they looked like garbage to start the first half. They had turnovers galore. It just was not getting going. But finally, they were able to put it together, especially in the fourth quarter. They just were chugging along, just keeping it in defensively, and really, really able to get it going. Rico Dowdle had a huge game on the ground, 206 yards and a touchdown. So he had a huge day. But Tua Tagovailoa on the opposite side also had a big day, 27 for 36, 256 yards and three touchdowns. But the Panthers held on. They got the win 27-24. This is kind of how I thought the Panthers were going to be all season long. I felt like they were going to be in the majority of the games. I felt like they were going to push good teams to the brink, but probably lose those games. Push shitty teams to the brink, and then either A, lose those games close, or just get the win. And that's what happened in this one. They just got the win. That, like I said, that was a big game by Dowdle. 206 yards. It was actually a career day for him. So just a nice, solid win for the Panthers, and another big loss for the Dolphins. Then we had the Houston Texans at the Baltimore Ravens, and talk about an ass kicking. The Houston Texans kicked the crap out of the Ravens, 44-10. Now, the Ravens did not have, like, the majority of their team playing yesterday, including Lamar Jackson at quarterback. He did not play yesterday, but it was, I don't think it mattered if any of those starters would have played yesterday, because they looked so bad in every way, on offense, on defense. I mean, I don't even think the Ravens play defense this season. They, even before all these injuries, they have looked terrible on the defensive side of the ball, which is just so weird, because the Ravens have just notoriously been known for being one of the best defenses in the league, and they are just trash on the defensive side of the ball, especially with the final score here being the Texans getting the win 44-10. C.J. Stroud had his best game of the season, 23 for 27, 244 yards and 4 touchdowns. Nick Chubb on the ground, huge day for him, 61 yards and a touchdown. That was the best day on the ground for the Texans. That was the best thing they could ask for. It was really what they needed, but I mean, just whoa. Total obliteration of the Ravens. And they start the season off 1-4, so that's, I told you, this division of theirs, it's not like the most difficult division, but right now the Steelers got a really nice lead over them. The Browns, they play hard. They play hard on the defensive side of the ball, so they could take it to the Ravens. Even though the Bengals are trash, you never know. But this Ravens team, not looking good at all. And the Texans, their defense really took it to them as well on the offensive side of the ball. But I really didn't expect much offense yesterday with no Lamar Jackson at the quarterback position. Then another crazy close game between the Tennessee Titans and the Arizona Cardinals saw one of the most insane plays I've ever seen in my life, where, so the Titans, Cam Ward, throws an interception. It's in the red zone. The Cardinals defender has the interception, but he fumbles the ball. When he fumbles the ball, it gets kicked into the end zone, and the Titans jump on it and are able to get the touchdown to get within, I believe, one or two points. They're closing in on this game, because the Cardinals pretty much, I mean, they came right out the gate, had a 14-3 lead. And it was pretty much all Cardinals all day. And then all of a sudden in the fourth quarter, the Titans turned it on, got that turnover, touchdown turnover. And then they were able to get into field goal range and walk it off and get the win 22-21. So the Titans got their first win of the season. Cam Ward, 21 for 39, 265 yards. Big play, though, that really cost the Cardinals in this one. Their third string running back, DeMicardo, He was running. He was doing this dumb thing that a few players have done over the years, and that is drop the ball and celebrate before you get into the end zone. Literally, an inch before dude walks into the end zone, he drops the ball in celebration, and the Titans jump on it and get the turnover. It's just so crazy to see this continuously still happen. Every single season, one dude does it. Every single season, and you're just like, get in the end zone and then celebrate. Don't do it before you cross that line. And don't even wait to just get as far as you can in that end zone and then celebrate it. It's just so whack. But that was obviously probably one of the biggest game-changing plays, because had they had that touchdown, things would have been much different in this game. Craziest game of the day goes to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Seattle Seahawks. Holy motherfucking shit. You want to see some great quarterback play? Freaking Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold just traded barb for barb yesterday. It was like, boop, touchdown. And then Baker come out and be like, sorry, bitch, touchdown. And then Darnold would come out and be like, nah, sorry, bitch, touchdown. And then Baker would come back out, nah, sorry, bitch, touchdown. And that's just what it was all day long between these two teams. It was just boom, 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 back and forth. But bake. It's all about bake, motherfucking Mayfield. Dude did it again. Every single game this season, the Buccaneers have had to have some type of comeback drive in them. Now, they failed last week, but Not this time. So they're 4-1 on the season. They got the win, 38-35. But Bake drove them down the field, got the game-winning score yet again, set them up in field goal position, got the game-winning field goal to walk it off. But it is just nuts. The Buccaneers have been in every single game this season. And like I said, they've had to make a comeback in every single game this season. And only one, which was last week, was the one that they failed in. So great season from the Buccaneers and Baker Mayfield so far. 29 for 33, 379 yards and 2 touchdowns for Baker yesterday. Their rookie receiver, Egbuka, filling in real nice for Mike Evans, 163 yards and a touchdown. Just imagine, they get Mike Evans back. So they're going to have Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Egbuka. Then they also have Rashad White and Bucky Irving in the backfield. And then you got Baker Mayfield. Jesus Christ. And their offensive line was just rotating yesterday. Like I think 3-4 of their guys injured. Just it is crazy to see what the hell Baker Mayfield is doing here in Tampa. And like I said, every single game for this team so far, they've had to make a comeback. And 4 out of the 5 times, they have done it. Then another ass-kicking, the Detroit Lions at the Cincinnati Bengals. If y'all really thought the Detroit Lions were not going to have a good season this year, you were stupid. If you were judging them off of that first game of the season, dumb. Because this team is going to light up everybody unless you are magically able to stop them, which you're not, and the Bengals were not able to do that. And final score, 37-24. 21 of those points came in the fourth quarter, so garbage time for the Bengals. So it was all Lions all day. Jared Goff, 19 for 23, 258 yards, 3 touchdowns. That's what you call an extremely efficient day. It was all about David Montgomery, though, yesterday. 65 yards and a touchdown on the ground. He also had a passing touchdown as well. Detroit is just getting stronger each and every week on the defensive side of the ball. I will say the Bengals, they did find some offense, and you just got to go to Jamar Chase. He had 110 yards and 2 touchdowns, so just go to Jamar Chase, man. I kind of feel like that's going to work out for you, but just another bad loss for the Bengals, big win for the Lions, who just keep getting better. I mean, they just, as the season wears on, they're getting stronger and stronger and becoming more and more suffocating on both the offensive and defensive side of the ball. Then we had the Washington Commanders at the Los Angeles Chargers, and this was a weird game. It started out where it was like 10-0 Chargers, and it looked like it was going to be all Chargers all day, and then after that, it was all Commanders all day. Their defense causing turnovers. Daniels was back at quarterback, 15 for 26, 231 yards and a touchdown, so good day for him. Their running back got three names. Can't remember those three names, but their running back had a huge day, 111 yards and 2 touchdowns. Debo Samuel, 96 yards and a touchdown. Just a very efficient day from this Washington Commanders offense. And then, like I said, defensively, they were causing not just turnovers, but game-changing turnovers in the red zone and just at perfect times when they needed it. And the Commanders got the win, 27-10. And then our Sunday Night Football matchup, another weird matchup between the New England Patriots at the Buffalo Bills. The Patriots got the walk-off win 23-20. It was so weird because the Bills walk right out the gate and get a turnover. The Patriots cause a turnover on the Bills. And it just looks weird, and you're like, maybe this is just the start of it. No, that was the start of the night for the Bills. It was a very weird, shaky, awkward night from the Bills. Now, I don't think this is anything to be worried about. I just kind of feel like it was one of those where they weren't really expecting what the Patriots were going to give them. Divisional matchup as well. I mean, those are always a big, big deal. No matter how shitty the team is, you always got to step it up for a division matchup. And the Patriots absolutely did that in this one. Drake May, solid day, 22 for 30, 273 yards. And Stephon Diggs, you know, he used to play for the Bills. Now he's with New England. He had 146 yards on the night. But really just a solid day from the Patriots. But it was really just all defense for the most part all night. Both teams really didn't actually start scoring until like the fourth quarter. It was going into halftime, it was 6-3 Patriots. That's what kind of a game it was. So it was just a weird game from the Bills. I just think it was kind of one of those wake-up call games from the Bills where they weren't really expecting what the Patriots were going to bring them, and the Patriots really smacked them in the mouth and were able to walk away with the win in this one. All right, so in tonight's matchup, we have the Kansas City Chiefs at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Right now, the Chiefs are a 3.5-point favorite. I was close to picking Jacksonville in this one. It's just, I don't know if I trust them to get two solid wins in a row. I mean, technically, they have had 3 wins in a row, but they beat the Niners last week. I don't think a lot of people other than me were expecting them to do that. And I really was super close to leaning towards the Jags in this one. I do think the Jags are going to make things difficult for the Chiefs on the offensive side of the ball. But I just don't know. They've got to prove it to me. And so this is a prove-it game for the Jags. They are at home. Kansas City does not look like a good team at all this year. Yeah, they were able to get their win last week. But so what? They don't look good on the offensive side of the ball. Their ground attack is not a ground attack. They have no running game at all. So if the Jaguars defensively are able to take care of business, they can set their offense up in good field position. But here's the thing. Kansas City Chiefs also have a really good defense. And they're starting to get better with each and every game. And so if we're going to go with the team that, even though the defense is there and setting them up in good field position, I think the Chiefs defense is going to do the same thing for them. And if I'm just taking the team that usually wins in those type of matchups, just if it's close, slim margin of error, and just taking advantage of everything, I'm leaning Chiefs because they've done it before. They are the more experienced team, even though I feel like Jacksonville could do it. They absolutely could do it. If their defense just takes advantage of what they can tonight, they should have a solid game, but I think both defenses are going to have a solid game. I actually think it's going to be a sloppy game from both teams offensively. There's apparently supposed to be some rain tonight as well, which sometimes fucks some shit up for the offense. So I wouldn't be shocked if it's more of a running night. Now, if that's how it is, Jacksonville actually has the edge, but I'm still leaning more towards Kansas City simply because I trust them more in this position. And I've got the Kansas City Chiefs winning a close one, 21-20. And Simon Ruvalcaba, he has the Jacksonville Jaguars in the close one, 22-20. And in our head-to-head matchup, I went 6-7 this week. He went 7-6. So he could tie it up tonight if the Jaguars win. So that is our matchup for Monday Night Football. Now, we had some great baseball games in the NLDS and the ALDS this weekend. So let's get right into that. Game one in the NLDS between the Milwaukee Brewers and the Chicago Cubs was all Milwaukee. They got the win 9-3. They had 6 runs in the first inning and 3 runs in the second inning, and it was just suffocating offense. The Cubs were never able to get it going. And the Brewers took game one. They have a 1-0 lead right now going into game two tonight, Monday night. So we'll see what happens throughout the rest of the week with the baseball playoffs and that NLDS matchup. But right now, the Brewers hold the lead 1-0 in that matchup. Then in the ALDS, Toronto versus the Yankees. Game one, Toronto smashed the Yankees 10-1. Vlad Guerrero had a home run, 2 RBI. Their catcher, Kirk, had 2 home runs in this one. Then in game two, they got the win 13-7 over the Yankees. Vlad Guerrero had a grand slam. And not only did he have a grand slam, but it was about the most grand slam you could ever have in your life. Bases are loaded, and I mean, this dude crushes the ball. The second he hits this ball, it is one of those where you're like, you just know. When I'm watching a game like this, as soon as I see somebody hit the ball like this, the words out of my mouth are gone. That's all I ever say, gone. And as soon as I saw this hit, I was like, gone. And already at this point, the Blue Jays were up. I can't remember. I think it was 9-3. They were up big already on the Yankees at this point. And he just crushes it. He obliterates it. He just tosses his bat and just runs around. But I kid you not, just the most grand slam of all time from Vlad Guerrero. Varsho had two home runs in this game as well. And, I mean, Yankees just getting obliterated. Both of the, I mean, their pitchers are getting blown up in this one. So it's just not a good one from the Yankees so far. But the next two will be in New York. So we'll see what happens there. But game three is Tuesday night in New York. So they definitely got to step it up or else they are done in this one. Then in the NLDS between the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Philadelphia Phillies, the Dodgers took game one 5-3. It was actually Phillies came out right out the gate. Nice, solid lead. It's 3-0. And then all of a sudden the Dodgers do what they do. They get guys on base. Teoscar Hernandez walks up. And it's, I believe, 3-2 at this point. Dodgers are starting to catch up, and boom. He does the same thing where he hits a home run, and I just looked at the screen, and I'm like, gone. And it was gone. He hit a home run. He had 3 RBI. Dodgers took the lead 5-3 and never looked back in that game. So they have a 1-0 lead right now on that series. Game two is tonight in Philadelphia. So we'll see if Philly's able to bounce back from that one. But, I mean, that's how I expected this series to go, where I felt like neither team's going to have any issues scoring on the offensive side of the ball. Their pitchers, because, I mean, real talk, who was pitching? Was it Sanchez? Chris Sanchez, I believe, was pitching for the Phillies. And he was pitching a gem. He was pitching a gem. Otani was also pitching in this one. He was pitching great as well. He got blown up to begin with, but then once he got blown up, he was just wheeling and dealing the rest of the game. But I mean, that's what I kind of felt like in this game. It's a slim margin of error, and whoever's just able to take advantage of in the series is going to get the win. But we'll see what happens in Philadelphia in game two. Then the ALDS between Detroit and Seattle has been crazy. Game one, Detroit walked off this one in 11. They went 11 innings, and they got the win 3-2. McKinstry had the game-winning single in that one. And it was just a battle. Just a straight-up battle all the way to the bitter end. But same with game two. Straight-up battle. It just was... Skubal got blown up, though, in game two. The Mariners got the win 3-2. Julio Rodriguez had a double in the eighth inning to basically take the lead in that one. Polanco had 2 home runs as well. And, yeah, just a battle in this series. And game three tied. We are headed into game three tied, and that will be on Tuesday night in Detroit. So it is pretty close, actually, so far, except for that Yankees game so far, but I mean, our Yankees series so far, but I mean, they are still the Yankees, and we'll see if they're able to pull it through. But we've got some great matchups right now in baseball, and we'll see what happens for the rest of the way with these divisional series and see where we're at on Wednesday. All right, y'all, enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Wednesday.